Jamie and Locker with you on a Thursday. I don't know how much love the BC Lions are going to get from us. No, well, it's not sold out yet, but it's going to be sold out. Crowd at Mosaic Stadium for the West Final. There's a lot of CFL news to get to with our CFL insider analyst from TSN. He is the great Dave Naylor.
Everything you need to get ready for game day.
Now, the Green Zone's NFL and CFL insider, Dave Naylor.
I understand. Are you on your way to Saskatchewan, Dave Naylor?
I am standing in front of my house with three suitcases or two suitcases and a carry-on sitting at the bottom of my driveway waiting for an Uber to head to Regina. Yes, you're getting me in real time, man.
Right on. Can't wait to see you awesome. Tomorrow.
By the way, hitchhiking's not safe, so you should fly.
Although the luggage has a better chance of getting here if you were to hitchhike.
If I hitchhike, yeah. Well, and on that topic, gentlemen, I just digress for a second. So I have
hitchhiking?
To get from Regina to Winnipeg after the game because I'm going to be there for the weekend and I'm heading straight to Winnipeg. I'm not going to come home.
You can drive with Britton and Locker.
When are they going?
Tuesday.
Oh, I got to go Sunday. I got to go Sunday. But the flights are all like going to Toronto or Calgary or Vancouver. And I said, you know what? I think I'll be like the first TSN person ever to say I'll take the bus. There's no bus. I was going to take a bus. There's no bus.
Don't get us started.
Yeah, okay.
There's no what was the Greyhound
Greyhound.
Well, no, what replaced the Greyhound, though?
I forget what it was called.
Red Arrow or something? There's no Red Arrow?
No.
There's no bus?
Something on a Saturday. I looked, there's a bus run on Saturday, but of course I'll be at the game, so I need one Sunday. So I'm renting a car, and I checked the weather. It looks like it's going to be
pretty decent.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Next week.
Okay, Dave, before we get to the previews of the division finals. Whoa!
Oof.
Ryan Dinwiddie by Toronto runs into the arms of the Ottawa Red Blacks. What's the real story here? Other than Ottawa needs a guy, so they've got Ryan Dinwiddie, but it happened real fast. The Argos thought they were going to be able to counteroffer. Nope. What went on that led to a quick Ryan Dinwiddie decision to leave the Argos?
Well, you know who didn't know about it until it was released at 4 o'clock yesterday? It's staff. That's how kind of quiet this was.
What?
His staff did not know until they found out. Ryan Dinwiddie had some conversations, I believe, last week with upper management of MLSC about his role. I think he had made it no secret that he wanted to have more say over personnel. He wanted to have a little more of the GM, if not the title, some duties in terms of the rosters and roster moves. I have been led to believe that there was some tension between him and senior advisor to the general manager, John Murphy, who, you know, has been there for a while and does, you know, some of the heavy lifting on the personnel side for the Argonauts. And ultimately, with Ottawa looking for a head coach, I think Sean Burke had people on his list that he thought probably wouldn't be available or wasn't sure if they'd be available, but that was where he was starting. And people like Ryan Dinwiddie, people like Orlando Steinauer, who he couldn't request permission for while the Ticats were still going, but it is my belief he was fully intending to ask for permission on Orlando Steinauer if the Ticats, for instance, had lost this weekend. So they asked for permission. The Argos granted. And all of a sudden, like in a day and a bit, somewhere like that, it's done. And yeah, absolutely. The Argos thought there was another conversation to come. And so they were a little bit surprised at how this all went down. That would suggest that, you know, Dinwiddie liked what he saw in Ottawa and, you know, may have had some reason to leave Toronto, to want to leave Toronto, the fact that he didn't circle back to them. So that's how it went down, very much the way it kind of appeared from the outside. And now the Argos are kind of, I think, a bit in stunned silence, and they're trying to figure out where to go from here. One other thing I might mention, guys. Have you noticed something? What is there normally in the CFL playoffs? A moratorium on moves and news, right?
Well, usually it's Grey Cup week.
I think it's usually the playoffs. I think somebody at the top of the league may have removed that cone of silence over news during the playoffs.
Oh, that's interesting. Just a question, and this isn't going to be easy to answer. So you'll have to figure out a way to, you know, weave through it here.
Thanks for the prep. Okay.
But what does this say? Does this say more about Ryan Dinwiddie, or does this say more about the Argos organization?
I think it says more about the Argos organization.
Okay.
And I think, you know, look, the Argos are been in a tough spot, right? Because we know that their facilities and things like that aren't what some teams in the league are. You know, they walk through Liberty Village to practice and back every day. They've got 3 home games on the road next year. And I think, you know, there's legitimately doubts about, you know, how seriously engaged MLSE is in the CFL, right? They got a lot of different things that come before they get to the Toronto.
A lot of
balls
in the air, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things that come to before they get to the Toronto. And like, that's not a mystery. Why, right? And so I think to go to a – and again, the other thing I think is that, you know, personnel-wise in Toronto, they've had a lot of people leave. I mean, Jim Barco left. Vince Magri, who works now for the Buffalo Bills. I see him every week when I'm at Bills practice. He was an Argos front office guy, not replaced. Alex Russell, who works in the front office of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. To my knowledge, not replaced. So I think there are issues just in terms of, you know, the personnel side. And just, I think ultimately he felt like there was a more engaged ownership group probably in Ottawa. And, you know, he got more control and he got more situation. They're going to practice at their home field every day. And, you know, all those kind of little things that go with it. So, you know, I would say probably it says certainly maybe more about the Argos, but certainly as much about the Argos as it does about Dinwiddie.
All right, so when's Mike O'Shea announced as the new head coach and general manager of the Toronto Argonauts?
I don't think that one's going to happen.
Oh, that's not fun, Dave.
I know, and I would tell you this. It certainly wasn't in motion. Like, you know, that is not like the other shoe that's waiting to drop here. I mean, I wouldn't tell you that can't happen, but I would tell you that is not in motion. That is not, you know, the Argos were not, okay, we'll let Dinwiddie go because we've got O'Shea reeled in. No, that is not the case. I think they will make an inquiry. But I will be shocked if Wade Miller, the president of the Bombers, lets Mike O'Shea out of that building. That would surprise me. So at this point, I'm expecting Mike O'Shea to be back, and I expect the Argos to call on Orlando Steinauer when the Ticats are done. Again, another guy with coaching background and long Argo history and connections. I also think they're going to probably give a lot of consideration to their own staff. They have a number of people who could be considered on that staff, and maybe, just maybe, with what the Argos are going to go through next year with the road stuff, maybe some familiarity with that whole situation might be, you know, to some advantage. But I honestly, here's the biggest loss I think the Argos have by losing Ryan Dinwiddie. Okay, he essentially has unlocked both their quarterbacks. Right, we know what Nick Arbuckle has looked like when he's been with Ryan Dinwiddie, what he's looked like when he's not been with Ryan Dinwiddie, and there's more that goes into it than that. But unquestionably, he's thrived under the tutelage of Ryan Dinwiddie early in his career in Calgary, most recently in Toronto. And Ryan, you know, Chad Kelly is not everybody's cup of tea, but Ryan Dinwiddie's never had an issue with him. You know, he's always been able to, you know, get the best out of him as a player. He's been, I would say, pretty loyal to him, even at the end of the season when Nick Arbuckle was playing well, that there was certainly, you know, when he was asked about it, it was, hey, as soon as Chad's ready to go, he gets the job back. And, you know, his plan was that Chad would get the job back in 2026. So, you know, if you're the Argos and you're sitting there with those two quarterbacks and your head coach just left, your offensive coordinator and your play caller, I mean, that's the big thing to me, is that Dinwiddie has got the best out of those two quarterbacks, and now he's not there.
Our CFL insider, Dave Naylor, with us here on the Green Zone. Quick timeout, and then East and West final preview. Dave's picks next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Get up in the morning, get on the bus. Get up in the morning like the rest of us.
Someone texted in a bus schedule for you, Dave, if you want to take a bus, but...
For Sunday?
Yeah, I don't know if it was Sunday, but it looks like it's a daily route. But you have to leave at midnight, and you get to Winnipeg at 7:30 in the morning.
I did see that one. Yeah, shockingly,
you'll rent a car.
Somebody who has ridden overnight buses in, you know, distant parts of the world and things like that. I
pass,
but I was much younger. There you go.
The bus is always an adventure.
Northern Ontario was a. Okay, now I don't need to get into it. We don't have the time. Okay, well, we only have 30 seconds on the Ryan Dinwiddie Toronto Argonauts thing, okay? Because I want to move on to the West and East final.
Sure.
But someone texted in, John Murphy and Chris Jones worked together in Saskatchewan. What do you think of Chris Jones and John Murphy working together with the Toronto Argonauts? What do you think the chances are on that?
One can only hope.
I would think that would certainly be a consideration. I mean, he's also familiar to Pinball Clemens, right? He worked for them not all that long ago, and Jones is always a guy who's, you know, whatever's happened in the past doesn't matter. You know, he's just a guy who's all about the job. When he left the last time, I didn't think it would be the last time we'd see Chris Jones in the Canadian Football League. You know, he's coaching defense at the University of North Carolina, I believe, right now. But I would certainly think that that would be, again, and you're right, your familiarity with the people that are there is certainly a big part of what might make that logical. Yeah, I would not rule that one out.
All right, let's get to the West Final. The Riders and the BC Lions. Dave, how do you think this plays out at Mosaic Stadium on Saturday?
I think the Lions are going to score, as they did in both games that they played against Saskatchewan this year, as they have scored, you know, pretty much all season, and particularly sort of from the middle part of the year onward. And the question to me is, can Saskatchewan keep up with them? And part of, I think, what sort of makes that sharp end of the question is the Lions' defense has really improved in the second half of the season, I think particularly at the line of scrimmage. And there was a point in the season where it felt like it didn't matter how many points the Riders scored or the Lions scored, you know, that they could get outscored by the opposition because their defense wasn't stopping anybody. But that's changed, you know, really post Labor Day. And so if the question to me is, look, I would be surprised if BC doesn't put up 25, 28 points or more. That's pretty much what they've done consistently over the second half of the season. Nathan Rourke, I think in the two games against Saskatchewan this year, it's 6 touchdown passes. So, and, you know, I don't necessarily buy into the Riders, you know, statistical defense not being good against the pass, because when you have a winning record in the CFL, means you're winning. It means you're leading a lot of games. And guess what teams are doing in the second half? They're throwing against you, and you kind of allow that because, you know, you're managing the game script. So I don't necessarily buy into, you know, Riders' pass defense, you know, isn't any good at all. And I think you look at their all-star selections, that would tell you that. But the question to me is, can they limit BC? Can they get the run game going? Can AJ Ouellette keep them off the field? And, you know, then Saskatchewan has to avoid turning the ball over. So I think BC's a real tough out. You know, for a road team in a division final, I think Saskatchewan's going to have their work cut out for them this weekend, no question.
Naylor, make sure you put your seatbelt on.
Thank you very much.
We're getting some questions texted to us regarding the new commissioner, Stuart Johnston's fan state of the league address next week leading up to the Grey Cup, and that it might not be a thing. It's not on the schedule. Have you heard anything about this? Because we're getting people asking us about it.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that. Now, this was something that was started, I believe, by Mark Cohan. That was the first time there was a fan state of the league address. And then was continued by Randy Ambrosi. And that's a very interesting tidbit you guys told me. I did not note that that was not on the schedule. And look, I think we all know that normally the fan state of the league address is a pretty friendly affair. In fact, probably a lot friendlier than the one with the media ordinarily. And like, there are going to be some angry fans.
Why? What happened this year that may not make it a friendly affair, Dave?
Yeah.
Wow. Let me send you my social media feed, guys. I got a whole bunch of new friends, you know? And look, the question I would have is that fair? Is that, if the league doesn't have a commissioner's state of the league address, is that fair or not? I can see where that would be a bit of a scene, given the anger that some people have at the rule changes. And I guess the question would be, what you wouldn't want to have is something that breaks it, that basically turns into a series of verbal, you know, accusations and assaults at the commissioner, and then you have to shut the whole thing down. Right? Like, that's what you would do.
Are you doing more damage by not doing it?
That's what I'm asking myself.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you're going to take a lot of criticism if you don't do it. But I think that would be preferable over having a scene like the one I described. And I think you might. I mean, in my time, probably since U.S. expansion with Larry Smith in the early 90s, and I've been around long enough to experience that, that's the last time I saw, you know, fans as angry. And at least at that one, it was kind of like, for a lot of people, they saw it coming. Like, it wasn't, it didn't just like all of a sudden, bang, here's three new teams in our schedule. Like, it, and I think that's part of it here is that, you know, it was not, and look, I understand why. Because if Stuart Johnston had gone through the process, you know, and the consultations that everybody wants to see, I can guarantee you there'd be no rule changes. Like, the only way to get this done was the way he did it. But I also understand why, you know, some people look at that and say, wow, like that just, that seemed very arbitrary and nobody else was involved. So I would say, look, if I was him, if I was the commissioner and I was getting the kind of things that I assume he's getting, because I'm getting them, and he's probably getting a lot more, I would be tempted to not do a fan State of the League address. Yeah, I would.
Dave Naylor here on the Green Zone. Enjoy your Uber. We'll see you in Saskatchewan tomorrow, Dave.
Five stars, Naylor. Five stars.
Absolutely. How's the weather out there, gentlemen?
It's going to be cold on Saturday.
It's going to be perfect weather.
Perfect. You've lived in Saskatchewan. You'll be fine. It'll be great.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Wear a toque.
I may have to buy one when I'm there.
There's plenty. There's plenty. We got to take a break. That's Dave Naylor here on the Green Zone. 1 minute drill, real quick. Bo Bichette qualifying offer today from the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll have more on that story here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Here on the Green Zone, just to see on what's going on there.
You love that.
Slush.
You love
ice.
That.
Absolutely. Got to bring people up to date. Slush and ice between Saskatoon and Battleford and towards Maidstone, out of Battleford. There's some sections on that highway that just get a little sketchy, but snow and ice up around the Humboldt, Yellow Creek, Waka areas, as well as you click on the highway hotline, slush and ice. Anything that people should know about, pass it along to us. 1-877-332-8255. Away we go when it comes to some winter weather coming our way. Going to be cold on Saturday. Chilly, but it's trending towards a sold-out crowd for Mosaic Stadium. And it's going to be loud at Mosaic Stadium as well. So we'll see where. I can't wait for Saturday. Maybe I'm too geeked up, like Corey May said his team wasn't for the West final. Well, it was an interesting night last night in the National Hockey League. There's a new club to join in the NHL. Of course, the 500-goal club, the 600-goal, 700. Not many have hit 800 goals in their NHL career, but now only one is at 900.
Lost it there to Ovechkin. Quick relay comes to the point. Chytrin fires. Just missed. Ovechkin turns. He scores! The Great Eight is the one and only at 900.
And what happened after has been an interesting conversation, as the goaltender who allowed the 900th goal is Jordan Binnington of the St. Louis Blues. What did he do? Well, he gathered the puck out of the net and
watches after the goal is scored. He's got the puck. Watch what he does with the puck. He's going to keep it in his pants. I don't know if he wants to sell it on the open market or not, but they're not going to get that puck from Binnington.
Yes, Jordan Binnington shoves the puck in his pants, skates back to the crease as if nothing has happened. But they know who had the puck when they went looking for it.
Linesman Michel Cormier came over and said, "Hey, we know you got the puck, buddy."
Good job catching
it didn't
that.
Take
There's
long.
Cameras everywhere, guys.
Tremendous.
His eBay account would have been popping off after this game had he pulled that heist off.
So Jordan Binnington takes the puck, puts it in his pants, and then the linesman has to come over and go, "Can we
go check out the Green Zone socials? We posted the video
at Green Zone SK."
I think he was. Again, we're trying to figure out whether or not you think he's a champ or chump. But
later on in the show, champs and chumps. Should he be a champ because ha ha, funny joke, or is he a chump because he's being a jack wagon, trying to?
I've been keeping
the 900th goal puck away from Alexander Ovechkin.
I've been keeping a tally.
It was interesting. Ovi was asked about it after the game.
Did you see Binnington trying to?
Yeah, I just saw that, you know. I'm not going to comment anyway.
I'm not going to comment. And that was the end of the news conference on that one. Jordan Binnington wasn't available last night. He got yanked. He was terrible, which raises questions on, is he still Canada's goalie for the Olympics, or what are we doing here? But he was asked about it today.
Yeah, I figured I basically had an assist on the goal there, turning it over, so didn't think he'd mind sharing it. But I had full intention to give it back to him.
The exchange, I want to hear the exchange between the ref and him, because he grabs the puck, he puts it in his pants, he puts it in his glove, takes his blocker off, grabs it out of his glove, puts it in his pants, and you can tell he's burying it in there for safekeeping, goes back to the net. I don't know how much time goes by, because it's a cut. The video that I've been watching is a cut thing.
So the linesman coming back.
The linesman standing in front of him going, come on, what are you doing? And you can just sort of tell by his body language that they know he has the puck, that somebody saw him put it in his pants, and then he's got to go tell Binnington to give it back. And you can't tell. There's no facial expressions because he's still wearing his mask. And then he kind of just like his shoulders sag and he goes, they caught me. And then he skates away and pulls his mitt off again and digs in his pants and then pulls the puck out. But the ref was annoyed.
Didn't it look to you that he was almost disappointed? They found out that quickly that he had the puck in his.
So
his
I still gear. Think it was a joke, but
I don't.
But
I'm
wondering if he
jack wagon.
I wonder if he would have left the ice with it.
I thought he was being an idiot, because Jordan Binnington has a record of being an idiot. He's like the new age Ron Hextall without two handing guys. Although
Dean's got him in the champ category because he's a Canadian goalie. But Texas, champ or chump? We're trying to figure out where he falls.
1-877-332.
It's confusing, and I think it's confusing because he's crazy. 5-5.
Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, what do you think? Is he a champ or a chump for...
He's a champ, Jamie. Jamie, let's just put it this way. Let's take him out of the equation. Let's say it was Marc-Andre Fleury. You'd be laughing your ass off. You knew it was a champ.
But it's not. But it's not, so that's why we're questioning it, Glenn.
Marco, I've never met him. Like, what kind of guy he is? Like, he seems really deadpan, but I bet, he's probably a decent teammate and that. And I think it had to be a joke. There's no way you'd get away with that. I thought it was funny.
Okay. All right. That's allowed.
You make a good point, because if it was Marc-Andre Fleury, we'd all know. We'd all know. But have you seen... How many times has Marc-Andre Fleury tried to blocker a guy? Like, Jordan Binnington has a temper. Jordan Binnington flies off the hand. Jordan Binnington will skate out of his crease and get and mix it. Like, he has a temper. It's clear he has a temper. And some of it is why Hockey Canada likes him, because he gets jacked up and it gets so intense into it.
Here's the other... listen, I'm not suggesting he's not a good teammate. But I have heard that his teammates avoid him, right? Like, they stay away from him because he's kind of crazy. So I don't know what that means in this scenario.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so Glenn's suggestion that maybe he's a good teammate, I don't know about that, Glenn. Like, the verdict is out on that. He's a great goalie, but he's crazy.
I've seen it on the ice a few times anyways, where you're like, whoa.
Yeah, he snaps.
1-877-332-8255. Wayne, where do you put him? Champ or chump today?
Well, first of all, I don't want the puck back if it's down his pants. But he's an absolute idiot, stick, ass hat, chump. Yeah, never liked him.
All right, so Wayne's putting him in the chump category.
Okay.
For Jordan Binnington. 1-877-332-8255. Can't believe you, after all these years, says Ken, you guys are finally discovering goalies are weird.
No, we knew that. I've known that forever. I played hockey.
Goalies are like drummers.
Stop giving drummers a bad rap. My brother is absolutely normal.
I haven't met your brother.
He's more. He's a lot more normal than I am. I can tell you that much. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Greg in Saskatoon. Greg, what do you go? Champ or chump with Jordan Binnington?
I think it was funny. I think he's a champ. I think he was just, you know, yeah, enjoy your puck. Here's a little bit of butt fuzz. You know, all right.
I've seen a lot of that on social media. On does Ovi actually want that puck now that he knows that it was down Jordan Binnington's pants?
Well, he just sort of tucked it in.
Yeah, but where did he tuck it? How deep did the tuck go? Did he put it under the underwear too?
No, he didn't. It didn't find a home in there. He just tucked it in under the waistband. You didn't have to.
Pretty deep in those pants to get that puck in there.
No, you didn't need a shovel to get it out. It wasn't one of those.
1-877-332-8255.
I can't believe we're having this conversation.
What do you think? Champ or chump? Sean says chump because it's Binnington. Others are saying champ because it's Ovechkin. It's almost whether you're on Ovi's side or Binnington's side on this one, whether you think it's a champ or chump move, what Jordan Binnington.
Keep the votes coming.
I just thought it was weird when I saw him shove
we
that
puck down
his pants.
We started talking this morning in the Green Zone Lounge. It was the first conversation we started having this morning. Everyone's like, did you see what Binnington did with the 900 puck last night? What was he doing? James Duffy. We had a conversation with him as soon as we got him on the show today. It was the first thing we started talking about.
Yeah, what's going on?
That was nuts. And I'm still trying to figure it out. Like,
yeah.
There's, you know, multiple theories. Either, you know, Jordan has sort of done this stuff before, is, you know, he loves to play the villain, and maybe that was just him playing the villain. I guess that's the most likely thing, which I don't mind because I think hockey kind of needs those kind of characters. A weird kind of situation to do it in with a milestone like that, but whatever. Theory two, I guess, is that he was kind of being funny, which I doubt, but I guess that's possible. If he was, then I applaud that because it is kind of funny. So I heard a third theory that maybe he like legitimately wanted to take the puck, so he had stuffed another puck in his pants and like switched the pucks. That would be
that was what you were saying.
Yeah, I was like, maybe he's like the guys at the baseball game who had the extra ball in their pocket.
That's
puck. Well, he's at $8.99. You know the way Binnington's playing, he's probably going to give one up because his percentage is not that good in stopping the puck this season. So he's like, oh, he's probably going to score one tonight. Maybe he had that plan.
That's funny.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. What do you think? Champ or chump for Jordan Binnington for hiding the 900th goal of Alexander Ovechkin and the puck in his pants? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. You should never dance.
Man. What are you talking about?
You should never dance.
Soft shoe over here. Fred Astaire. Why do you think I'm married? It's not my good looks.
It's not
because
you can
dance. It was my moves
on
the dance floor.
That's a lie.
Move over, Elaine.
That's a lie. Yeah. Carlton from... Fresh Prince of Bel-Air over here. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Champ or chump? It's a mix. Probably more champs than chumps, though, for Jordan Binnington last night, taking the 900th goal.
I'm surprised. People are pretty forgiving. I didn't think it was going to go this way. I still haven't counted all the votes because there's too many texts right now, but I'm going through it. And keep them coming. Binnington, if you want to see the video, he grabs the puck, puts it in his pants. Ref comes up to him, says, Binnington, what are you, Binner? Give it back. He goes back, grabs the puck, gives it back. It's the 900th goal that Ovi scores in his career. And Binnington, first thing he does, he doesn't even flinch. He goes and grabs it right away. Everyone's losing their minds, not thinking about the puck. And he's
like,
so where does he, like, we haven't figured out if he was trying to be funny, if he was trying to be a jack wagon.
He had full intention of giving it back.
He got caught, gives it back. So
he wouldn't have given it back if the ref didn't come over. When he got yanked, he'd probably still have that thing in his pants.
That's the question right there. Like, if I'm in a bar and I'm having beers with him and I'm like, okay, Binner, let's go. Yeah. If they didn't come, would you have kept it? Be honest.
100% he's keeping it.
You're thinking he's keeping it?
Absolutely. Our game of the night, we're going to go with Ovechkin against Crosby.
I
wouldn't even have put it in my pants. What are you talking about? No, I would have taken it out of the net and shoot it over to the Capitals who are celebrating. Here's the puck. Or give it to the linesman.
See, if
or something.
He really wanted to be a jerk, he would have thrown it into the...
We're not keeping the puck. No way. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sport. Our game of the night, the Capitals, the Penguins. Who knows how many Ovi Crosby games we have left. Also, it is Thursday Night Football. I'll get to watch my Raiders lose to the Broncos. Starts at 7:15. Broncos like number one in the division. The Raiders are not number one in the division. And, of course, the Riders injury report, Keyshawn Johnson, questionable. Pretty well everybody else looks good to go. Britton Gray will bring you up to speed on what that Rider roster could look like tomorrow on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.